You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. I think it's fair to say it's felt like a long winter made longer by the continued COVID-19 pandemic, and I think folks are maybe looking for some type of escape right now. Well, thankfully, Hollywood is still serving some good options to enjoy safely at home, of course. So joining us, as he does from time to time, is Boise State Public Radio's resident film and TV critic, George Prentice. George, always good to have you on the program.
Hi, Gemma. Love talking about movies and TV.
Oh, me too. Okay, so let's first check in about the film and TV industry itself, right?
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking 10 months and what, a handful of movies maybe have been released on the big screen?
Yeah, when they used to say coming to a theater near you, I don't think they meant our living room, but it's pretty much, that's it. There are some theaters in the U.S. open, but keep in mind, California's in crisis. There have not been any theaters open in Los Angeles or in New York City. And to qualify for an Oscar, you actually have to screen in those cities. Mm-hmm. So they're changing all the rules. The business is in trouble. As you probably heard, Warner Brothers has decided to put all of their first-run movies on HBO Max, and the other studios are scrambling. Just this week, they pushed the James Bond movie. I've lost count of how many times they pushed this back. They pushed it back again, hopefully to this fall. So there's all of these quote-unquote blockbusters sitting on a shelf, like the sequel to A Quiet Place, the new West Side Story by Steven Spielberg, the Jurassic World sequel, and studios are in deep trouble. But in worse trouble are the cinemas, are the theaters. Mm-hmm. I've said this for years, but I really had no idea that the pandemic would really pull the rug out. And that is, Hollywood has a real estate problem. We've got a lot of theaters that are dark. We're in trouble.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, George, is I have always loved going to the movies, that
sure.
whole experience, right?
Yeah.
Of being in the theater, the big screen and all of that. And I hated watching movies at home. That is completely reversed in the last 10 months. Now I can't even imagine going into a theater because it sure is easy to watch everything at my house.
Right. And you have to, I mean, quite frankly, you have to make a decision on your health care. As you're also shelling out, you know, $8, $9, $10 mm-hmm. bucks to see the film. It's going to be a while until mass audiences are comfortable to head back into a theater. And the big news, as you've probably heard, is the downtown Boise is about to lose a major Cineplex. The Regal Edwards Cinema closed to the pandemic. Regal says they're not reopening.
Mm. Well, and it makes sense, doesn't it, George? I mean, you've covered industry for years. I mean,
yep.
you've attended the big film festivals. You've emceed conversations with actors and directors and producers. So it's safe to say, I think, that we've never seen anything like this in the sense that this has devastated the film economy.
It has. And I do believe that the winners when all of this shakes out will be the art houses, the mm-hmm. places like the Flicks in Boise and the Magic Lantern in Ketchum that are more intimate, that up until now have always kind of been the stepchild of the cinemas. But they have and will probably always showcase films that are difficult to see everywhere else. But as far as these megaplexes, my goodness, when it is safe to return to the cinema, I really wonder what that's going to look like.
Oh, right. So now let's talk about streaming.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I remember, George, you and I having a conversation probably about 18 months ago,
mm-hmm.
Talking about Netflix and should Netflix even be allowed to have their movies be eligible for Oscar nominations,
the
right?
Motion Picture Academy is begging Netflix for nominees this year.
Right, exactly. And so yeah. how things have flipped, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And there's some really, really fine movies that have just hit Netflix.
Okay, so let's talk about those.
Well, One of them is One Night in Miami.
Oh.
You may have heard about this.
I
did see this last fall, streaming online through the Toronto Film Festival. This is based on a true story, one night in the 1960s when Cassius Clay, we know him as Muhammad Ali, but he was Cassius Clay at the time, football great Jim Brown, singer Sam Cooke, and Malcolm X spent one night together in Miami. It is directed by a wonderful actress, Regina King. It's her first feature directorial attempt. It's a really good film, but the reason I want you to see this movie is, have you ever seen a movie where there is one scene, one moment that is so powerful that it makes the whole movie?
It's probably, but it's hard to I mean, I think.
Well, think of really Dreamgirls. Think of right. Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls when she sings, and I'm telling you, I'm not going. And all of a sudden, well, that's the movie. That's it. Mm-hmm. Well, there is a scene in One Night in Miami. Leslie Odom Jr. is a young actor. He won a Tony on Broadway in Hamilton. Well, he plays Sam Cooke. And at the end of One Night in Miami, he sings what would be Sam Cooke's final recording. Sam Cooke was shot and killed at the age of 33. But he recorded a song that, well, I want you to give it a listen.
But he winds up knocking me, knocked out on my knees. Oh, there's been time that I thought I wouldn't last.
The song was Change Is Gonna Come. It's more of an anthem, I guess, now, and it just gives you chills, and It's worth 2 hours of your time. It's called One Night in Miami, and when the Oscar nominations are unveiled, and I think they're going to be unveiled sometime in March or April, you can bet that this film will be near the top of the list.
We saw it, George, last week. So yeah. Good.
So good.
Really, really good. Okay, you always get a heads up, though, mm-hmm. on things that are coming out.
Yep.
So what's on your radar that folks should be looking for in the maybe coming weeks and months?
Okay, I want to talk about a movie called Nomadland, which I saw last fall. It has not been formally released yet. It is by far the best film of the year, and certainly the best performance from Frances McDormand, who already has two Oscars. It's a modern story, and it's not unlike A Grapes of Wrath. It is the story of people who are just this side of poverty, who work in fulfillment centers, let's call them. I won't use a brand name, but okay. They're the ones who use work in fulfillment centers, and how they live pretty much live hand to mouth. And when the holidays are over, the fulfillment center starts laying people off. They move from town to town. They are nomads. They are modern American nomads. There are millions of these Americans without health insurance, and they go from town to town. And the thing about this film is how gentle it is. I want to play a small clip here. And the dialogue is so authentic that sometimes you feel as if you're watching a documentary. Listen to this.
I maybe spent too much of my life just remembering.
I can relate. And out here, there's a lot of people our age, and inevitably there's grief and loss. And a lot of them don't get over it either. There's no final goodbye. You know, I've met hundreds of people out here, and I don't ever say a final goodbye. I always just say, I'll see you down the road. And I do. And whether it's a month or a year or sometimes years, I see them again.
I guess what stuns me the most is how gentle and tender this film is. There isn't anything cruel in it. And you will never forget it because you instantly feel as if, wow, I know these people. And how many Americans are a paycheck away from this existence of living out of a van or a car, certainly working, but they're working poor. And it's called Nomadland. When you do see it, you won't stop talking about it.
So do we know how to see it yet, George?
They tried releasing it in some theaters. It will have to hit a streaming service. My sense, it will hit one of them within the next 60 days. So that could be Amazon or Netflix or Hulu. You can bet that it will be on a streaming service. Look for and ask for Nomadland. A couple of other films. One that is on Netflix already, and that is Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Great performances from the late Chadwick Boseman and Viola Davis. I want to tell you about two great movies co-starring the wonderful Carey Mulligan. And they're very different films. One is called Promising Young Woman. It's a devastating film of a young woman who seeks out vengeance against those who cross her path. It is brutal. But then she has this period piece, and it's called The Dig. Carey Mulligan and Ralph Fiennes. It's a true story based on a woman who in 1939 discovers the remains of an Anglo-Saxon battleship on the shore near her English home.
Wow.
And they excavate it, this single woman, and this older man in town who just likes to dig things. And it's Carey Mulligan and Ralph Fiennes. It's called The Dig. I think you'll really, really like that one, too.
It's so good to know that there are still films, George, that we can see. I mean, I know the experience is different, but at least to kind of have this escape, right?
Did you get an opportunity to see Soul yet on Disney Plus?
Oh, George, we watched that on Christmas Day.
Wasn't it swell?
So good.
So good. Pixar, and it turns out it was the most streamed event, television or film, over the Christmas and New Year holiday more than any other film, and the soundtrack is great, et cetera. That's got to win an Oscar or two, don't you think?
I think so. It was lovely. I mean, it truly was. I mean, it was funny. It was poignant. It was heartbreaking at times, but just so lovely. I mean, really, really good.
And speaking of musicals, two more quick recommendations. One is I Am Woman, which is the Helen Reddy biography, and that is streaming now on Amazon. I saw it 2 years ago. It finally hit Amazon now. It's really good, and of course, Helen Reddy recently passed. Mm-hmm. And there's a great new documentary about the Bee Gees on HBO, and there are so many parts of their lives that I had no idea. And let's face it, for many of us, that's the soundtrack of our lives. So look for those, too. It's always fun to see movies and documentaries that include so many familiar songs.
Well, George, it's always fun to have you here on the show. And you bring a little bit, I think, of light to know that we can still enjoy this part of our lives.
Absolutely.
So George, thank you so much. We've been talking with our own Morning Edition host, George Prentice. And I want to thank all of you as well for being here today with us and enjoying Idaho Matters. And we actually need your help with our sister program, Want to Know Idaho. This is the podcast that answers your questions about the Gem State, from history to culture to nature. In previous episodes, we've explored the state's geological energy. We've asked the question as to why there are two Abraham Lincoln statues in downtown Boise. Yep, there are. And why Boise isn't located in Boise County. So if you have a question, submit it in our quick online form by searching Want to Know Idaho in your web browser, or go to Boise State Public Radio and click on the podcast. Again, thanks so much for being a part of Idaho Matters today. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie. Keeps telling me no, hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother.